Here we go. Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM. Right on your FM dial. And also on your device, whether it's your phone, your computer, your laptop. You can find us there. Just go to the radio station website, gospelmusicomaha.com. There's a listen button there. Everything we broadcast on FM also is broadcast to the world via the internet. And if you're on the go and on the mobile, make sure that you download the Gospel Music Omaha app from the Android or the iPhone store, your choice. Just type in the words Gospel Music Omaha, and you'll see our teal logo right there with 100.3 FM. And everything that gets broadcast on the FM dial will be broadcast right on your phone, no matter where you are in the city, the state, the country, or the world. So welcome to the Mind His Business Show. I got a little bit of a topic that I want to talk about, but I want to know what you want to talk about.
Any and everything. I know y'all been asking, where's the symbols? I'm trying, okay? I'm trying. I have to get help with that. So,
Anybody out there in radio land that want to help her to compile some information? She could use an unpaid intern right now.
All I'm doing is the symbols.
I'm doing
all the symbols. And I have them on my phone. That's just the issue is I have them on my phone. I just need to get them from my phone, either to copy on some paper.
Like, y'all help her out. Y'all something. Help Love Love out. So who's out there? I want you to text right now, 402-819-8941.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I got something else on my mind.
Okay.
Text Love Love, please, at 402-819-8941. Tell her you will help her to print a file from off of her phone so that she can feel good about what it is she's doing.
Listen, I have the file, okay? Don't get me wrong. I have the file, and I have it off of my iPhone.
You know, she's an auntie
so
age,
what I'm trying to do is
some help.
I keep wanting to go to Kinko's, but they keep wanting to put it on gloss paper, and I'm like, it ain't that serious.
It ain't that deep.
I just only want it on some regular paper, and other people that got copy, they're looking at me like, you ain't using my copy machine.
Y'all help Love Love out.
So I'm like,
I see y'all waving at us on the lives. hey, what's going on? Hey, back to you. I see folks that are joining. Y'all, she's in auntie age right now, so she needs some help. So if you young out there and you know how to scan or print or help a sister out,
contact me on Facebook.
Contact Love either on her Facebook or either
Facebook.
Send her a text at the radio station, 402-819-8941.
Facebook is better because the 819-8941, I don't know if it should be.
That's the radio number. You can call
I
and request
answer,
a song.
But it just be too many people trying to sell stuff and everything else, and I don't like to hang up in their face. I really don't.
Well, it is the radio station number. You can send us a text if you want to hear a certain song.
Send a text,
we'll
please.
We'll get it in rotation if you have a question about the station.
Yes.
Most of the questions we get revolve around why is it staticky in this part of town or that part
and
of town.
And I don't want the PP loan mess. I don't want none of that crap.
No.
It's sickening.
But,
I don't want it.
For those of you that do have that question of why it's staticky in certain parts of the town, it is because the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC for short, limits community radio stations for the number of watts that they are able to broadcast. So if you're listening to your mainstream secular stations, they might have 100,000 watts. That's why you can hear some stations all the way from Omaha all the way to Lincoln and that sort of thing. But community radio stations were developed specifically by the government because local folks like you and me complained to say that all the big players were snatching up all of the frequencies on the radio, and they weren't even serving their local communities. They were just buying up all the big stations. So the FCC said, well, let's build a tier of radio stations called community radio or low power FM, LPFMs, and then they will be able to reach their communities directly. But the trade-off for that is that the signal really only covers your main community area. So a main station might have 100,000 watts. We are limited to about 250 watts, so very, very small. So we do cover our main area, which is North Omaha, South Omaha, all the way into West Omaha. We do reach into Council Bluffs. We also reach, I think, as far away as Fort Calhoun. So we do have a good reach with the signal, but it is a little bit spotty in spots. And that's because we're not allowed to have more watts to make a stronger signal. So it's not...
Well, there's people that's here local that say they can't hear, and that's because of the gullies. And because of the under the ground, there are these...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of fiber optics that interfere.
So if you're in an area that's a little staticky, the solution is listen on your app, on your phone, or listen on the internet, gospelmusicomaha.com. There's a big button there that says listen now, and you'll be able to get it static free wherever you are if it's coming through your device. But just to let you know, it's not for lack of quality on our part. And we also have the other community radio stations that function. As you know, we have not one, not two, but three black-owned local community radio stations. All three of us have some of the same challenges because we all are in that same class of radio station where the wattage is limited so that the signal is designed to be just for our community. So that's what's going on if you ever have that question. But it's not a deterrent to enjoy inspirational gospel music. This is the first and only radio station of its kind on FM in this state ever in history. This is the first time we've had a 24/7 urban gospel radio station on FM here in this whole entire state and in the state of Iowa too, because we do reach into Council Bluffs. So
first black radio station, black owned radio station. Don't let nobody fool you. There's radio stations that were before us, however they were not gospel. So this is really amazing. So we're very happy about that.
So I want to talk about this movie that came out here recently.
Which one?
Deliverance.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
So I want to talk about this movie Deliverance because the church community, and notice I didn't say the Christian community, I'm saying the church community, is divided on whether or not we should be going to see this movie. Now, I'm going to preface my statement by saying, no, I have not seen the movie. And the first thing a person is probably going to say is, how can you give an opinion about something that you did not watch? Well, I can give an opinion about something I did not watch for the same reason I can tell you crack is bad, even though I have never done crack. Some things are just not what we're supposed to be doing. And we should be allowing the word and the spirit to always be our guide. Now, you say that's a pretty bold statement, Lady J, because some folks are out there that are saying, well, you know, this movie that came out, for those of you that don't know, I'm not encouraging Christians or believers to go and see this movie for a few reasons. First of all, the claim is made that this movie was made inspired by a true story, which basically means they took some element of something that happened in the world and then they just wrote a story around it. When they say inspired by a true event, that's different than saying it's a documentary. So let's just start there. A documentary is supposed to be, for example, actual footage, actual comments from the actual individuals that are involved in some sort of historical event or some sort of topic. You actually talk to the actual people who are involved. You get their verbatim words. You get their actual commentary. That's a documentary. When you see a movie that is fiction, but it says it's inspired by true events, they basically look at what we would consider to be a documentary, and then they take their own artistic license to create a story around the idea.
Right, right, right.
So most biopics that are out there are actually not documentaries. They're actually inspired by the life of the person, but they're not an actual documentary because there is license that is taken by the directors and the writers and the storytellers to make the story be a certain kind of way. So we have lots of biopics that have come out over the years. We've had the Jacksons, their story. We've had NWA, their story. We've had James Brown, they did one on him. Whitney Houston, several have been done on Whitney Houston, especially since she passed, because they're trying to cash in on her life and her legacy. Same thing with pretty much anybody else that you can think of. You'll see what they call as a biopic, and it's not a documentary. Because although it is giving you maybe the highlights of what this person's life is, and they're gleaning from public information, it's not a verbatim account of that person's life. And usually, if the person is alive, they have say over what makes it in the movie and what doesn't make it in the movie. So a person who's alive that says, okay, I want you to make a movie about my life, they ultimately will say, well, I don't want you to put that particular piece of dirt in there because I want to make myself look like a hero and I don't want to make myself look like a villain. And they kind of sanitize or sanctify their image, even though there's some bad stuff that they leave in because they want it to be juicy and they want to get people to buy tickets. But there are many things that are in these movies where it's artistic license that is taken in order to tell a story, to advance a narrative about a topic. And it's not the same as a documentary where you just get the raw, unvarnished footage and information. And even the documentaries, they're oftentimes agenda pushing because they want to spin a narrative a certain way. So they might pick certain facts to emphasize or de-emphasize in order to make the point of the documentary. But in general, a documentary is going to be more accurate than a biopic. A biopic or any movie that says it's inspired by true events, you already know it's not telling the truth or the whole truth. So we can already start there when they say this movie, The Deliverance, is inspired by true events. Now, there are some church folks that say, oh, you should go to this movie because it's the power of Jesus that ended up saving, saving the people from the demonic powers and so on and so forth. And my initial response to that is, well, my Bible already did that. I don't need to watch a movie that that is taking artistic license made by non-believers in order to what? Inform me about something that the Bible has already told me and taught me. So we have to be careful to allow the world to tell our story. Do you remember when Malcolm X was around back in the day and he talked a lot about, why are you letting your oppressor teach you about your own history or teach you about, you know, educate your children and so on and so forth? And we all kind of gravitated toward that concept to say, yeah, that's right. Why are we letting our oppressors teach us about our own past and our own history and who we are? And, and it was this whole rah-rah black culture thing. Well, as Christians, we ought to be the same way. You should never allow secular people to teach you about your own faith. Full stop. I would venture as far as to say that Lee Daniels, who is... to my knowledge, an out and proud homosexual, is not living a lifestyle that's consistent with what the Bible teaches about that lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying that it's a sin to have attractions, but I am saying that if we are truly saying that we're following Jesus Christ, that should include our sex lives as well. And that should include him having dominion and charge over every aspect of who we are, and not just the public parts, but the parts that are hidden or unseen as well. So that's number one. Number two, you can look at the actors and actresses who are playing these roles. And as much as I would like to say that maybe this movie might have some Christian themes in it, the actors who are playing these parts have also been known to play all kind of other parts that most certainly are, not in line with biblical values. I'm gonna just leave that one right there. Because the scripture talks about you will know them by their fruit. If you look at someone and all of their fruit, you look at their whole body of work, and their whole body of work has certain things that's in it that are anti-Christian, but now all of a sudden they're playing in this movie that's supposed to be designed to, what, instruct Christians on how to cast out demons? But the people that are doing this movie are not professing believers. Like, for example, Monique, I love listening to her talk, like as a comedian. But I kind of had to shy away back in the day because I felt like her comedy was very, besides it being profanity laden, it was, we'll just say, not befitting of who I was as a believer at the time. And so I really kind of shied away from that. But now she's kind of turned this corner and she's got this quasi-positive, uplifting type of commentary, but she talks a lot about praying to the universe. Well, we know in Romans chapter 1 that we are not supposed to worship the creation. We're supposed to worship the Creator. And it's very dangerous to follow someone that is using the word God, but they're also using the word universe in the place of God. So what God are you talking about? So we have to be very mindful that everyone that professes that they're following God, we don't necessarily know which God that is. I do know, we talked earlier, I think it was at the beginning of 2024 when Cat Williams did his Shannon Sharp interview, and he had Cat Williams on there talking about, oh yeah, you know, all these things are going to be exposed and this and that. And I showed us, our audience here, how it's a controlled opposition game at this point, because none of these people who are claiming to expose things, their symbols betray them and tell the truth. So, like, for example, Monique's husband, Sidney Hicks, he is in a fraternity, a Greek letter organization, and we know that they pledged their oaths to various idols. We've talked about that many times.
Well, worse than that, she's got an open relationship. That means her husband can sleep with whoever he wants. And she can too.
And that's definitely not.
And the sad part about it is most of the women don't, but the men do. That's the sad part.
And then on top of all of that, you have this whole opening up and allowing invitation of demonic spirits. Just like when we pray over things to be successful, did you know that Satan's people cast spells, incantations, and prayers over what they're doing to infuse what they're doing with demonic influence to be able to influence people demonically? Just like we pray over something, oh Lord, you know.
Halal meat. Halal meat. They pray over it. They offer that meat to idols.
Well, yes, because Allah is an idol.
Mm-hmm.
But just like we pray over something, let's say you're going to make some sort of piece of art and you get done and you pray and you say, you know, Lord Jesus, I really want this piece of art to influence and bless the people and draw them closer to Jesus Christ. And you say this prayer over this artwork. Well, they do that too. And so when they do their prayers and spells and incantations and runes and symbolism that they put on their work of art, that is their offering to their gods, their idols, Satan being the chief one. And so when we participate in watching the movie, it's as though we are participating in whatever ritual they have placed over that particular piece of art. So I want to play for you. There's a guy on YouTube, his name is Marcus Rogers. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I like his perspective on this movie. This is only about 3 minutes long, so it's not going to take very long to listen to his perspective. And then I thought maybe we could have a little bit of commentary about it. What do you think about that, love?
All right.
You think that's good? Okay. All right, let me make sure that this is showing on the video, because I want to make sure that those of you that are watching on video can see it. So let's turn this on. And then I'm going to have to turn our background music off so that we can hear this.
We'll turn it down. Yeah.
Yep. So let me go here. But while I'm pulling that up, did you have any particular opening thoughts before I pull this up?
No, I'm just flowing today like water.
You're flowing like water? Okay. It looks like that's not going, so I'm just going to play it out here in the open. All right, so I'm going to turn some microphones down. I'm going to let him say what he has to say, and then we'll have a little bit of commentary.
That's Rogers right there.
Yep, Here we go.
And every Christian that watched that movie needs to rip. The information that I gave you guys in the previous video and the stuff that you're going to see out of the director's mouth right now and some of the cast members and extras that you're going to see in this clip, if you choose to watch it and be like, you know what, I'm prideful. I'm not going to admit, you know what I'm saying, that that I was wrong or that I don't feel convicted. You know, just because you want to do whatever, that's going to be between you and God, because God is giving the warning. You need to repent for watching that movie. You need to renounce every demonic thing that was in that movie. All right, you open your house to demonic portals, right? Because they open demonic portals during the movie to grab that filthy imagination. You hear them say it out of their own mouth. If they open the portal during the movie, right, and you think that you're gonna watch that same movie, not opening any portals in my home, yes you are. All right, spirit of homosexuality, some of the cast, the director, spirit of fear, which we know God has not given us the spirit of fear. All right, spirit of perversion, there was a lot of perverse things and imagery. The Bible says, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes, but I talked about it in the previous video. I'm just going to show you the evidence, and if you choose to watch this and still not repent, hey, pride goes before.
But that there were still things that happened on the set that was, my sister was, is in every movie that I've ever done as my good luck charm. And she was in the scene with Glenn. The 2 days later, after being in the chemo scene, she was diagnosed with lung cancer.
What?
Literally, my dog died on the set. When we were spraying the demon out,
a fire extinguisher,
it backfired in her face. It could have put her eye out. It was, yeah, and that's with all the prayer that we had.
I had to go to the hospital.
It was a big, it was just
sick.
Oh, baby, I was like, what kind of shit is this?
And I was like, oh, yeah, I was recently on set for The Deliverance. And she was like, oh, my God, I heard about everything that was happening on set. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, they heard they had a pastor coming in to pray because there was paranormal things happening on set. And, you know, like I said, Mr. Daniels didn't share none of that. But I was like, what you mean paranormal? So that's when she talked about how she knew, like, somebody on the crew or whatever, and there were things flying around the set. People were mysteriously getting sick. People were being put in the hospital.
Listen, y'all lukewarm Christians could be mad all you want, but no true Christian who is full of the Holy Spirit can sit there and watch these kind of demonic movies. All right, don't tell me you're watching it for research purposes. There's nothing no gay Hollywood director can teach me about deliverance that the Bible can't teach me and that the Holy Spirit can't teach me. Christians should not be watching horror movies. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Light has no fellowship with darkness. That director had to go to a dark and demonic place and said, how can I get these visuals? How can I make this look scary? How can I just get the most evil, darkest thing I can think of? And they pulled that vision, that imagination from the darkness, manifested it on film, and then they projected, broadcast it through the screen. And so when you're sitting there in your home and you're opening yourself and you said, oh, I'm not affected, the Holy Spirit is strong in me, the point is you're opening demonic portals. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. You think that you're big and you're bad. The Bible literally says, give no place to the devil. And so some of you are giving place to the devil for the sake of entertainment with your music and your movies, and it's lukewarm. Cut it out.
I'm going to read for you what's here on the screen. This was someone that posted about this movie and the interview that was done. It says someone on named Denise Wilson posted this post. Y'all be careful watching Lee Daniels' new movie on Netflix, The Deliverance. He and the lead did an interview with The Breakfast Club, and they said it was so demonic they had a preacher on set every day praying during every break. Stuff was happening on set and at home for most of the cast members. The lead started speaking in tongues while filming, and that wasn't part of the script. Yeah, demonic tongues. He said nobody knew what to do, so they just let her go until she wore herself out. There's actually a Bible scripture verse in Acts that talks about that very same thing happening. Yeah, this is not of God. Charlemagne asked Lee Daniels, would he ever make another movie like this? And he said, never in life would he do this again. He said they were so terrified on set every day, he didn't even want to do the movie to begin with. He's been sitting on this script since 2009. Yep, I won't be watching it. That was the that was the post. So it's important, very important, that we that we have more discernment and not just take everything just because somebody says that, oh, this is Christian or it's based on a true story. Now, he has a previous video that he did about this topic. It's a little bit longer. It's 16 minutes, so I didn't know if I wanted to get in there and jump in and talk about it a little bit. But the main issue is these times are getting dark. And as they're getting darker, that means that our light is supposed to be shining brighter as a contrast to the darkness that is going on in our world, because we are preparing for the soon coming King. We are preparing for times that are happening that are going to be like the days of Noah. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that it's going to be like the days of Noah. Well, the days of Noah, it wasn't just that people were wicked, but there were demonic forces that were doing all kind of things in this world during that period of time. And when it comes to happen again, it is going to be like we've never seen. That's what Jesus said. It's going to be such a time of tribulation that the world has never seen before and will never see again, because every demonic host, every fallen angel, every Nephilim, every demon, everything that's in the abyss, that's in the pit, everything is going to be coming to earth at one time. And that's why men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. So we should not be feeding on a steady diet of fear. And I feel like it's important to talk about this topic right now, because we're going into the month of September and October, and we all know that in America we have this tradition of celebrating fear and darkness and witchcraft and wickedness during these fall months. And there's a reason why there is so much emphasis on getting us comfortable with the idea of fear, because it says that perfect love casts out fear. So why would I put myself in a position to be intentionally made to be fearful when that's not the state that a believer should be operating in? Let me pull that verse up. Perfect love casts out fear. Let me pull that up, because I think that is useful. And for those of you that like horror movies, some of you been watching horror movies since you were a kid. I remember when Chucky came out, and there are a lot of people that let their kids watch Chucky because Chucky was a doll. And so the kids watched Chucky because, ooh, there's a doll in it, and it's this evil doll. Well, we're setting up our children for Let me take my time here, because I got so many thoughts. Satan needs us to operate on fear, because a person who is in fear is very easy to control. And Satan's objective is to rule and reign over this current world. And the easiest way for him to do that is to keep us in a state of fear, whether it's propaganda on the television, whether it's horror movies, whether it's manufactured anxiety, whether it's actual fear. Fear is a useful tool because a person is less likely to be rational. Let me explain what I mean. When you are in a state of fear, and anxiety is its close cousin, your physical automatic systems are elevated, and your higher thinking systems are demoted, because your body is now chemically put in a state of fight, flight, freeze, right? So your body, all of the blood vessels come down from out of your higher thinking and go into your extremities and your stomach in case you need to fight. There is cortisol that gets infused into your system. There is adrenaline that gets infused into your system. Your pupils dilate so that they can take in more light and thus take in more information. Your whole physical system is preparing for some sort of conflict. Like I said, fight, flight, freeze, whatever. Those are the main things that your body is prepared to do. But in that moment, your reflexes are more reacting rather than your conscious mind or your rational mind to be able to think through things. So when you're in fear, it's hard to make good decisions because you're only thinking about survival of the moment. And anxiety is a close cousin to this, but anxiety is an imaginary fear. So an actual fear, let's say a bear is coming at you, that's a physical fear. And at that moment, if that bear is coming at you, you're going to either fight, you're going to flee, you're going to run, or you're going to freeze. Go ahead.
That would be flight.
Or you're going to freeze because you'll be paralyzed into no action at all. You know, and maybe a bear is not a good example. Maybe, you know, that big dog that's around the corner up there, that big Rottweiler, if he escapes the fence and is foaming at the mouth and running at you fast, your whole body, you're not thinking about what you're going to have for dinner Thursday night. You're not thinking about nothing else other than, am I going to have to try to fight for my life? Do I need to run for my life? Or are you just paralyzed to no action at all? None of these things are good for the physical body, first of all. And that's why we should not continuously be in a state of adrenaline and cortisol rush through fear, because it destroys your body. You get this boost of energy in order to manage the moment, but it's supposed to be short-lived. So, you know, kind of like you hear about the mom whose child gets stuck under the truck, and then somehow she's got this superhuman strength and lifts the truck to get the baby out from under the truck. Well, obviously, she doesn't have that sort of strength when she's just in normal times. Now, me personally, I believe angels helped that woman in that moment lift that truck. I believe that's a miraculous thing. But in general, that adrenaline is only supposed to be going to get you out of the moment, to keep you alive. That's it. That's what it's there for. But when we go to things that make us fearful, that are not, they're synthetically created, like a horror movie, for example, we're creating that same chemical response in our body, but it has nowhere to go and nothing to do because it's all synthetic. And when you constantly pump your adrenal glands and your cortisol, well, you get side effects. You get the big belly, for example, because all that cortisol, if it doesn't get used up in that fight or flight moment, it retains itself in your cells. And then you can get this nice, you could be as thin as you want to be, but then you got this belly you can't get rid of. Sometimes that's actually cortisol that is built up in your body from constantly being in a state of fear and anxiety. Now, anxiety is an imaginary fear.
Hold it. I still had something to adhere to that.
Go ahead.
One of the reasons why I had came off a lot of the video games, because I was playing a lot of combat, shooting, zombie, you know, zombie wasn't really my thing, but you always had that person who, let's kill zombies. I don't want to kill zombies, okay? I want to kill people. You know, I was more, I'm just being, you know, honest. And that's the reason why I had to come off a lot of the video games, because I was getting this adrenaline boost all of the freaking time. And that just is not a good place to be. And didn't I have a huge belly? I had a huge, huge stomach. And I'm like, where you go? Where'd your body go? You done turn sideways. Well, turn sideways without the stomach. So what I did was I had to come off a lot of the video games to bring down a lot of that adrenaline.
Right.
Because that was an adrenaline boost all of the time.
Well, and sometimes that's really good what you're saying, and I'm going to follow along with what you're saying, because there are games out there like Resident Evil, for example,
right.
And they're like horror video games as well, where you're going through dark rooms and things jumping out at you.
Right.
And a lot of times we're thrill seeking
after playtime. Poppy playtime for children. They're starting.
Yeah, that stuff is demonic.
They're starting our children off while they are in kindergarten, even before kindergarten. They're playing this stuff around their children, and their children are hearing. They're hearing. No, seriously.
No, you're right. But
I'm not even
terrible
kidding.
Terrible how you're doing that.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding. It's just so. It's awful. And my glam babies, I had to say. You can play this stuff with your mom and them, but with grandma, grandma is not playing that stuff. So I had to find other things that would be a nutrient, that would be nutrients for their brain and for their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was not about to do all that Poppy Playtime mess and all that. Mm-hmm. I know. No. It's bad enough that I was doing the shooting games and then they want to do the shooting games. That was bad enough, you know.
Well, you know those games, those Call of Duty type games,
right.
Those first-person shooters, those were actually initially developed by the military to actually train soldiers in the most realistic way they could possibly.
Yeah.
And then they just rolled it out to the general public.
Yeah, it had me looking around me, looking at people crazy. Look, I was looking at what you looking at. You want some? Yeah, but, those games are, people don't understand. Those games are serious, and they will practice. They a lot of people practice on those games, and it's kind of like being in the game, but except for they really don't come back to life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, and that's just it. It's designed to desensitize us to death and destruction, and we should always be sensitive to life and sensitive to... We should not be... desensitized. I'll just put it there so that we can keep going. There's a scripture verse that I quoted earlier, and it's 1 John 4, verse 18, which says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, which means a mature love or a fully developed love, perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He
and
that fears is not
made
perfect or mature in love. When you see the word perfect, most of the time in the Greek, that word perfect doesn't mean without error. It means to be fully matured. So if I have a seed and it's planted and it's a young tree, it's not perfected yet. But when it is fully grown and it's producing fruit, then we would say that that tree is perfected because it is mature and it is able to pass on what it has to others. So there is no fear in love, but the most mature form of love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. This is what 1 John 4:18 says. He that fears is not made mature or fully matured in love. So if we are feeding on a steady diet of fear, then that means that somewhere our love, our godly kind of love, is incomplete. Now, there's a whole context to that passage that is not talking about horror movies, obviously. But I'm using it to illustrate a point that as believers, our main language of communication should not be fear. It should be love. We should want the best in people. When you see someone die in a horror movie, why are we cheering? Shouldn't we feel bad that that person died, especially if they were innocent? Why are we cheering when people get killed in movies, period?
Yeah.
Innocent or guilty.
Oh, innocent bystander, casual, you know.
Why are we cheering that?
Right.
Should not we have compassion on people whose lives are lost, especially if they were lost into a godless eternity without Christ? So our whole mindset needs to change. And I'm far from perfect. I still watch some things on television that I should not watch. I still have seen some movies that I probably should not have seen. I am not saying that I am perfected in that area. I am not saying that I have arrived. But one thing I will not do is I will not subject myself to any movie that has obvious demonic implications. I just won't do it because Satan really cannot influence your life to the degree that he would like to without your permission or invitation. I'm going to say that again. Satan can do his greatest work badly in your life if you allow him in by permission or invitation. There are many different ways in which we allow Satan permission or invitation to wreak havoc in our lives. And I'm using Satan, but I mean any of the demonic hosts. I don't necessarily mean Satan in particular. I just mean in general, the spirits of evil are allowed to influence our lives in a greater fashion when we give them entrance. What are some of the ways that we give them entrance? Well, watching demonic horror films would be one, because they pray over that movie to give it more strength, more impact to the viewers. And it doesn't matter whether
they pray over it to give to that more demons are released and that they go into the people.
That when you watch this movie,
yeah.
Anyone who watches this movie is by extension inviting or allowing permission.
Correct.
For those evil spirits to be involved with your life because you chose to participate in that movie, which is its own form of ritual. Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystals, smudging, burning sage, horoscopes, visiting mediums, psychics, all of these things and more, listening to demonic music that obviously has, you look at the music video and it's just straight up satanic. You can see it. You can see the upside down pentagrams right there on the video. They got red and black and blood and black goo going down their face and they're doing all these things, or either it's appealing to your lusts or your lowest base impulses, and it's designed to keep you in a mind state that is not focused on God at all. All of these things give permission or invitation for Satan and his minions to be involved in your life. And there's more than what I just named, but those are just a few. And if you're involved with any of those things, you should get rid of it. You should renounce it. You should get it far away from you, and you should repent. God, I was involved in that, but I don't want Satan to have an entrance in my life anymore. And therefore, I want to repent for that and not go back to that. And if you are a believer, you most certainly should not be entertaining the things of darkness. Why would you do that when you have the God of the whole entire universe who is right there with you at all times? Why would you go to... It doesn't make any sense to me when you have the God of the whole entire universe that is there at any time and all times, and you're going over and consulting with the enemy. That makes no sense. None at all.
The reason why we're talking to Christians is because, believe it or not, a lot of Christians are involved in this. This is a gospel radio station. This is a gospel program. That's the reason why to me, people who are in the world are going to do what the world does, because mm-hmm. that's what people of the world do. Okay.
Right.
However, as Christ followers, there should be a difference. There should be a difference in your lifestyle and the way that you talk, in what you watch, in what you do. As Christians, that has no place and should be given no foothold. That means when the door is closing, you know how they put their toe in the door right there? There's
right.
No way. There should not be given any occasion. And let me emphasize this. It's not that you have any control as far as that is concerned, because that's why you have the Holy Spirit, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have the Holy Spirit. I don't deal in the Holy Ghost because I don't deal in ghosts, ghouls, or goblins. I say the Holy Spirit because it is the Spirit. It is the Ruach HaKodesh that does the work that actually stops. Do you know he protects us?
Yes. Yes.
The Holy Spirit, he protects us. He surrounds us. He, is it okay for me to say safety, security? He's the real blanket.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Right.
He's the real covering. He's the one that's above you, around you, under you, through you. He's who protects us. I can't do it of this flesh because the flesh is weak. That's what the Word of God says. The flesh is weak. But you know what? The Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is truly amazing. He does the work and should be doing the work. We talk about secular people, but let me tell you something. The reason why we're talking about this is because Christians are doing it too, Jackie.
Well, yeah.
I hate when we get on here, we talk, all this stuff, and we're talking to the world, but this is a gospel radio station. This is a gospel radio station with things that are dealing with the Christian industry.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment comes first in the house of Jesus Christ, house of the Lord.
That's true.
That's why I don't really never mind about a lot of the stuff that secular people do because they're doing what they do.
Right.
Because Satan is the God of this world and of their lives.
But there should be a difference between us and the world.
Right.
And if there's no difference between us and the world, why would they come to our faith when there's no difference?
Right.
And most of us, let's be honest, we're bored. We're purposeless.
Yeah.
We don't have enough. We don't have enough purposeful things to press into, and so we're trying to get that dopamine fix and that adrenaline rush in different ways. We don't exercise enough.
Yeah.
We're not expending our energy enough, and so we're watching these things in order to get that boost or get that rush when really you could get those same endorphins running through your body if you would just go work out or go walk or go do some push-ups or something to get that adrenaline
I'm an advocate of those who exercise. Even me, I don't like to exercise, but I do.
And a lot of us are too bored and we don't feel like there's enough excitement in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're chasing after that feeling of, I just want to feel alive. And so the horror movies, you get the jump scare and it gives you that little woo, woo. Well, really, you should be getting that from your purpose and your calling.
Right.
God has called each and every one of us to a purpose and a calling. And the more you press into that purpose and calling, you won't need some artificial stimulant to get you up out of the bed and to keep you going and to keep you on fire, because the Holy Spirit will give you that ignition that you need that doesn't have to be done through a negative or through a fear. And
fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. We have to learn that we don't need fear, anxiety.
And that, thank you for circling me back to that. Anxiety is an imaginary fear. Why? Because anxiety is worry about something in the future that hasn't happened yet. Depression is sadness about, you're living in the past because you're thinking and worrying about something that has happened in the past. Anxiety is an imaginary fear because you're having a concern about something that has not happened yet. So it's not real. It's not real because it's in the future. It hasn't happened and you have no way of knowing if or when or how it will happen. But you're worried about it. Jesus said we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow at all. Each day has its own troubles that we should be contending with. Even Jesus said, do not be anxious. I should pull up that.
Be anxious for nothing.
That verse of scripture. It's an actual commandment from Jesus not to be anxious.
But
did you know that?
Give prayer and supplication.
Jesus said, do not be anxious. Let me pull that up. Because it's an actual commandment from Jesus. Now, if Jesus himself said, don't be anxious, then I think that we should follow what he has to say about that. And I, it's not even for Philippians 4. It's the one that I want to read where Jesus, I mean, Philippians 4 is a good one. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds.
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus. Now that is from that's from Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, and Paul was the writer of that. Matthew 6 verses 25 through 34 talks a lot about anxiety as well. So in Matthew 6, 25, this is Jesus himself saying, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. See, notice how it's future tense. Mm-hmm. What will I eat in the future? What will I drink tomorrow? What will I have to accomplish tomorrow? Anxiety is an imaginary fear about the future. It's not real. It hasn't happened. It's the future. So Jesus himself gives a direct commandment. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Yes. About your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant. Mm-hmm. They don't reap. They don't harvest.
Toil.
They don't put anything in the barns. They don't do any of that. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them?
Hallelujah.
And which of you, by being anxious,
can add
a single hour to the span of your life? But now I can tell you that if you're anxious, you can subtract some hours from your life, because your body will degrade. It creates immune suppressions and deficiencies. It runs your cells ragged and runs you down. It makes you look old. It does all kinds of things. It's bad. And Jesus says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field. Those are flowers. Consider how they grow. They don't work. They don't spin. They don't do anything. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And it continues on. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you.
Did you want to do the rest of the video? Did you want to do
I can't. I think we'll close out with that video. But I do want to say that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has caused old things to pass away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what the scripture says. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, I'm going to read this passage as just a reminder for all of us. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that unclean spirit walks through dry places seeking rest and doesn't find any. Then he says, I'll return to my house from where I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. So this unclean spirit, when it leaves you, it seeks somewhere else. And when it doesn't find somewhere else, it will try to come back to you. Because now your house is cleaned up, because it's now gone from you.
But then he wants to bring his partners. More
then
partners.
In verse 45, Matthew 12, 45, it says, then goeth he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So the principle that we see here at play is that when we become believers, we ought not go back and flirt with the darkness all over again.
Right.
Because if it comes back again, seeing that, oh, you done cleaned up now. Well, if we give them permission or invitation to come back and vex us all over again, it will be even worse, because we already had cast them out before through Christ. So you don't want to give entryway to the devil through horror movies or haunted houses or all those things that we mentioned earlier, because you don't want whatever vexed you before you got saved to come back and be even worse because you invited it back after you became a believer. So that's the warning there.
And for those, like I said, with the video games, because that was my lick. That was my thing. Video games. You know, just the ammunition, just that dopamine boost. Okay. Sometimes I still want to play.
I ain't perfected in that area. I'm not fully matured in that area either.
But
I'm working on it.
But I don't do it like I used to. I just don't. I don't do it like I used to. I don't let it monopolize my life nor my time, because you, like I said, you're playing and then you look up and it is 4 and 5 hours later. No, you will not be a time stealer like that. It's controlling. It's being able to control your time and what happens in your life. Mm-hmm. It's more constructive to be able to get other things done. And mm-hmm. and that is a part of having control over your body, because when you're shooting and all those things, it feels good, you know. And so yeah, nope.
Yeah, so you know, we have a lot to do as believers to become that first fruits offering to the Lord. We want to be the best portion. So we talk a lot in scripture about the first fruits, how when a harvest happens, the very first fruits or the best portion is supposed to first go to God. And then after that, there's a main harvest. And then after that, the gleanings that are left over at the end. We don't want to give God our last. We want to give God our best, because Jesus Christ gave his best for us to redeem us.
Hallelujah.
He gave his very best. Jesus is described as the first fruits. Yes. He gave his very best. And God deserves us to give him our first fruits.
And
the very best of who we are.
And we are the first fruits, Jackie. Am I lying? We are the first fruits in the body of Christ. We are his best. That is amazing. We're not the last just the clippings. we are the best of what he is and what he's given us. And he's, and there used to be a song, you bring out the best in me.
Well, I was thinking Anita Baker giving you the best that I got.
Okay.
I want to give God the best that I got. I don't want to give him my leftovers.
Right.
I don't want him to be an afterthought in my life. I don't want him to be, you know, I'll get to him whenever. I want Jesus to have the first and the best of all of who I am.
Even when I pick fruit, like I got like this right here. See this fruit right here? I'm trying my best to pick out the good stuff, Jackie. Mm-hmm.
So
that is the mindset
that we should have as believers, is to always give him our first and our best, and not give him the last, and not give the world and the devil and our flesh the best parts of who we are.
Right.
And then, you know, I'll just tip God for good service on Sunday and then that should make it all right. Mm-mm. That is not the way a believer should really behave. If your heart is truly changed and truly drawn toward Christ, there should be something inside of you that is drawing you to live in a way that honors him more and more every day. And no, you're not going to be fully matured all at once. You won't be, in other words, perfected all at once.
Right.
It is a progressive process, but you should at least be progressing.
When Christ sees us, when God sees us, listen, when the Most High sees us, I want him to see the blood of Jesus Christ, Yahushua. That's what I want him to see. Because I don't want my sins out there like that, Jackie. I don't want my sins out there. I want the blood to cover, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, to cover the multitude of sins that might be there that I don't even know about. There's people that I may have offended. If I've offended anyone, please forgive me. If I've drugged somebody through the dirt and know that I did physically, I ask you to forgive me. if I beat you up, and you know I beat you up, I want to... No, I'm serious. I have beat people up.
You said you ain't been saved all your life.
No, I haven't. But I do want to say I am godly sorry. I only want to have the mind and the will that Christ wants me to have. And Jackie, and if I've done anything to offend you or hurt you or anything, please forgive me.
Of course.
You know, I used to be a liar. Do you hear me? L-I-A-R.
Pants on fire?
Lie. I think to the sky. I think you'd be on fire, but I'm serious.
But we've talked about that in your life.
Yes,
that some of that
still,
was a protectionism mechanism,
right, but
for
it don't matter.
Things that were happening
it don't matter.
In your life.
It don't matter the reason why I did it. Because,
well, I'm saying that to say that particular
matter.
Ungodly habit came about initially because of fear.
Well,
because
abuse,
you felt,
because of abuse.
Right. You
yes.
felt fear as a child,
right,
that you had to protect yourself,
right,
when you were in a vulnerable state.
Correct.
And that fear then
right.
birthed.
And this is for somebody. This
habit.
Is for somebody. Yes.
And as you grew up and you matured in the faith, you began to see that God is my protection. I'm no longer that vulnerable
right.
child. God is a God of truth mm-hmm. and integrity, and therefore I want my life, my words, and my actions to be of
to
truth
up,
and of
yes.
integrity, and I can trust him to deal with the things in my past as well as protect me in my present. And that I'm telling what you told me.
Yeah, come on.
That lying spirit, you know, that's how we say it
that's
in the
what,
church.
That's what
but
it is.
Really what it was a protection mechanism for self-preservation that was birthed from fear. And that
yeah.
goes back to what we've been talking about today, and that is fear can birth so many ungodly things
yes.
if left unchecked. And yes, you were a vulnerable child. There was no one there to protect you. So you did what you had to do at that time during that age. And it was what it was. But now that you are an adult and you are a believer.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man or of a full maturity, I put away those childish things.
So now that whole lying thing, you've been able to examine that under the light of Scripture and under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit
yes.
and say, I no longer need to hang on to that pattern.
That's right.
Because who I am now in Christ is not the same person that
God
I was when I developed, when that fear caused me to develop that ungodly habit.
All right.
So I think with that, since we are running a little long, I'm just going to let Marcus Rogers kind of rock out about this movie, The Deliverance, and we'll just let him ride it out today.
And if you joined us late, you definitely want to
talk about that movie, The Deliverance.
Yeah, you want to definitely start it from the beginning and listen to it. Yes.
All right.
Listen
so
to what we were showing.
So this is Lady J.
And this is Love Love.
And we're going to let Marcus Rogers take us out today. Thank you for listening to Mind His Business Show. Catch us every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time live. And during our morning show between 7 and 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. All right.
Ciao.
Here we go with Marcus Rogers to take us out.
Oh, man, we got to talk about this movie. I've seen a lot of different... even Christians posting about this movie. And so that made me want to go look into it and see, you know, what are people talking about? And I'm going to just tell you straight up. Immediately, the Holy Spirit told me no. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always give you warnings, whether it's who you date, something that you're doing, a place that you shouldn't be at. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, one of the posts that I seen was, y'all better be careful watching Lee Daniels' new movie on Netflix, The Deliverance. Him and the lead did an interview with The Breakfast Club, and they said it was so demonic, they had a preacher on set every day praying during every break. Stuff was happening on set and at home for most of the cast members. The lead started speaking in tongues while filming, and that wasn't part of the script. He said nobody knew what to do, so they just let her go until she wore herself out. Charlamagne asked Lee Daniels, would he ever make another movie like this? And he said, never in my life would he do this again. So they're saying that all this demonic stuff is happening on the set. Now, apparently, right, this is based off of a true story. But let me tell you something, that doesn't matter. The Exorcist was based on a true story. The Jeffrey Dahmer film, right, was based on a true story. People out there fornicate. That doesn't mean I need to go watch a movie about it. Like, oh, this is based on a true story. People out there getting, you know, raped and abused. That doesn't mean that I have to allow those things in my house. And so let me just say this at the beginning, because I know a lot of people are not going to stick around. You know, I'm going to get into some Bible verses and things like that real quick. But understand this. Christians should not be watching horror movies, period. No excuses. There's Bible to back that up, and I'm going to give it to you. But understand that the person who's creating that movie, and we just read it, they have to go to a demonic and dark place to get that vision to project it on the screen. They have to come up with a wicked imagination. That's what a horror movie is. They say, I'm going to come up with the most wicked imagination that I can come up with, the most wicked, nasty, evil, dirty, scary thing that I can think about. I'm going to go to that dark place, and then I'm going to take that demonic vision, and I'm going to broadcast it across a big screen. So what is happening when you watch a horror movie is that person went to a demonic and dark place to come up with the material, the subject matter, to come up with the visuals, right? And now that dark place that they went to, when you're sitting there in your home or in the movie theater watching it, now it's a portal that you've opened. All you're doing by watching the movie is opening the portal that that director had to open to get that wicked imagination, because it doesn't come from God. That demonic imagery doesn't, and you say, well, I've seen demons before, I'm not scared. The point is the director went to a demonic place to come up, all right, with those visuals. And we know the Bible is clear about this. Just in case you're a baby Christian, Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Why would I open up my house, my mind, my family, my heart to somebody who's opening demonic portals to make these movies? All right. I don't care what your good intentions are. It's evil. It's not a good movie. It's not a godly movie. It's not a movie that glorifies God. It's a movie with the intentions to scare you. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You sit there and want to, for entertainment purposes, and you say it's just entertainment. It's sad that we even have to talk about this, and it's sad that there'll be Christians defending it. You're opening demonic portals in your home, right, in your life, right, in your mind, when you look at that stuff, because you're coming into agreement with it, because you're fellowshipping with it. You're agreeing to sit down. Now, I know I'm going to piss some of you guys off, but it's true. You're agreeing to sit down to open up your, because their vision for the movie is fear. It's a horror movie, right? So you're coming into agreement with that. You're coming into covenant with that and saying, yeah, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to open myself up to what you guys are broadcasting. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? There's no true Christian who's full of the Holy Spirit who can sit through a horror movie, because light has no fellowship with darkness. I don't care what you say. You're not full of the Holy Spirit if you can sit there and the Spirit is not grieved. You're not full of the Holy Spirit if you can sit there and just all the demonic imagery and you just sit there. You're not full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you not to watch it. And I know, because the Holy Spirit told me not even to watch the trailer. I was going to do some research. Let me go check out the trailer since this is so popular. Holy Spirit said, no, don't even watch the trailer. And I know I'm not the only one. If you can say, hey, the Holy Spirit warned you and said, no, I want you to testify in the comments, because people try to make it like, oh, you know, Marcus Rogers, he's just doing too much. It's not a big deal. It's just entertainment. These are the same kind of people that be listening to secular music. All right. So let's take a look at this real quick. Let me hit this other angle first, because I know some of you, you know, you're not going to stick around for the whole thing. So I want to hit this other angle before I hit that one angle. All right. They have an actor in the movie called Miss Lawrence. All right. And this is Miss Lawrence. All right. All right. This is Miss Lawrence. It's one of the actors in the movie. I think they got a couple of, you know, famous actors. Okay. In the movie, but this is who that is. Right. So I don't even need to say that's a whole nother spirit that you're inviting in. All right. You see that? I just want you to see it. You know, that's a whole nother spirit. And then you wonder, you know, your kids growing up funny and weird because you allow it. It's a spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Bible says, give no place to Satan. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Now, some of y'all, the truth is you're going to be mad at the Bible, but you're going to try to make it like you're mad at me, like I'm being judgmental. No, that's what you're supporting. That's what you're partaking in. All right. Now, let's just look at a little background of this, and we'll call it a day. Keep it nice and short. All right. If you're a fan of the Exorcist films, Netflix's new horror movie, The Deliverance, should be on your watch list. It may be hard to believe, but the project is based on real events that a family experienced over a decade ago. Read on to uncover the true story behind The Deliverance and learn what happened to LaToya Emmons, all right? So The Deliverance, which debuted on Netflix on August 30, is directed by Academy Award nominee Lee Daniels, known for Precious. Precious was a pretty dark film, all right? So the thing is, it's really just a black exorcist, right? Because they say that the exorcist was based on a true story as well. And so some of you, I'm going to be real with you. You feel like you got to support everything black because you're black. No. Oh, they got my favorite actors. That's part of the trap. You're opening yourself to demonic portals. Now, some Christians say, well, you know, I watched it for research purposes. For what? We know that there are demons. We know that demons manifest. What I got to watch it for? We know that spiritual warfare is real. We know that people are possessed with demons. I don't need to go watch it and do research. Y'all should go watch the Christian movie, The Forge. You know what I'm saying? That was an excellent movie. And so I'm not trying to like condemn anybody. Please understand. I'm trying to protect you. I understand that there's new Christians every day. God is saving people every day. And some people don't know. And so I'm going to say this one more time, and I'm going to end the video. When somebody makes a horror movie, all right, the director has to go to a really dark and demonic place to come up with that imagery, to come up with the vision. I remember years ago, right, I've never watched horror movies ever. There was two incidences where both times I was hanging out with a girl, right, and the way that my mama raised me, like, I walked in the house, and I remember one girl was watching The Exorcist, and I remember the atmosphere was just so, light has no fellowship with darkness. Like, I immediately was uncomfortable in the spirit. Like, before I saw what was on the screen, there was a presence that you invite in your house when you watch that kind of stuff. And you say, well, it doesn't affect me. The fact is you're inviting the presence in the house, and the Bible says, give no place to the devil. And I remember turning to look at the screen, and this is all I know about the movie. I think the little girl had, like, a cross, and she started like stabbing herself with it or doing something. And I said, nah, I'm out. And I actually was like disgusted with the girl. Like, I was like, you're supposed to be a Christian. Like, I don't even want to, you know. And, you know, I was young. I would have handled it a little bit different. But I was so disgusted that you sitting there in the dark, you know what I'm saying, with this kind of atmosphere, you know what I'm saying? And I was messed up. I wasn't all the way perfect, you know, in my teen years, you know what I'm saying? But I just like, nah, I got to go. And then I remember another incident, same thing, went to hang out with a friend. And you know, I walk in and there was I think it was The Hills Have Eyes. And I just remember something, I ain't going to say it because it makes me sick, but something disgusting happened on the screen. Same thing, felt that demonic atmosphere. I look at the screen and there's something real disgusting going on. And I said, hey, how can you sit here and watch this? Like, the person who directed this, they came up, they went to a demonic dark place and they said, I want to think of the most nasty thing that I can think of. I want to think of the most disgusting thing I can think of, and I want to put it on screen. They didn't get that vision from God, right? Make no mistake, this is not a Christian film. It doesn't matter that it's based on a true story. Oh, and oh, by the way, I read into it a little bit, and they said someone gets, they're running off in the woods or something, and somebody gets sodomized, you know, in the film. Like, why do I need to watch that and see that? There's no information that a Christian's going to get from that video that's going to help them do better deliverance. We do deliverance. We cast demons out, right? All I need to know is, in the name of Jesus, come out, you demon. So I don't want to hear you watched it for research purposes, because the Holy Spirit, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to sit there and sit through the whole movie. I've walked out of many movies in my life because the Holy Spirit is like, nah, this ain't it. You cannot just invite any old atmosphere into your home. That's why some of you got problems, because you need to stop listening to the music that you're listening to. You need to stop watching the movies that you're watching, because it comes from a demonic place. There's no if, ands, twist about it. No. You know, the same stuff with the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff, right? The Holy Spirit told me, no, don't even watch the trailer. Right? It doesn't matter that it's based on a true story. That dude was obviously under some demonic influence, and now somebody's making a movie to kind of not necessarily glorify it, but, you know, like, it's an entertainment factor. And there's no reason for me to see those things across the screen. Now, if you come across it in real life or whatever, you deal with it. But the intentions behind these movies and these films, there's no reason for a Christian to partake in that, have fellowship with it, you know? So let me just say this, because I don't want to condemn anybody. I'm going to pray for everybody that if you watched it, you know, hey, I'm not going to say it's okay. I'm just, because this is why the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is why I do what I do. You know what I'm saying? Even though some of the things I talk about are not always popular, you know, now if you want to sit there and be the kind of Christian, oh, you know, I still drink, I still smoke, I still listen to secular music, I still watch horror movies, that guy's tripping, it don't take all that, fine. You be one of those children of Israel, you know, who are dancing around the golden calf. You got to let go of that stuff. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you guys. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, any believer that happened to watch this movie, maybe they didn't know, or maybe they felt conviction and they ignored it. Father, I just pray that you cover them. I plead the blood of Jesus over their minds. I plead the blood of Jesus over their heart. I plead the blood of Jesus over their children, their family, who's ever in their home. I ask, Lord God, that you just protect them, cover them. Any demon, Lord God, that came through that portal, any spirit that came through that portal, we just rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Raise up a standard, Lord God. Even if you watch the movie, I want you to just go ahead and say, you know what, Lord, after listening to this video, hearing those Bible verses, I realized that I shouldn't have watched it. I realized I shouldn't have partook in that darkness. I want you to just go ahead and just say, God, you know what? I repent, forgive me, and it's a done deal. That's all you have to do. And so, Father, as the people begin to repent, Lord God, whether they did it unknowingly, out of ignorance, Father, they're realizing it was a mistake. I ask that you just have grace and you protect them and you cover them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them, their mind, their family, and their home in Jesus' name. All right, you guys be blessed. Don't walk around feeling condemned. If you watch the movie, the Bible says the watchman on the wall, this is what we have to do, all right? And so I would challenge you, you know, this is why you should pray in the Holy Ghost. This is why I tell people to pray in tongues, because the Bible says in Jude 1:20, you pray in the Holy Spirit, you build up your most holy faith. You want the Spirit of God to be strong in you, because the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And you have to understand that it's one Spirit, right? I'm big on this. Now, people say I'm arrogant, right? But I'm big on, did the Holy Spirit tell you to do that? Because the Bible says to acknowledge God in all your ways and he will direct your path. I know the Holy Spirit told me, don't even watch the preview. Same thing with the Jeffrey Dahmer thing. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I was curious, like, oh, it's based off a true story. But because of the director, you know, what they're doing, I don't need to see those images across my screen. The bottom line is the Bible says to cast down every wicked imagination, right? I don't need to partake. And I'm going to say this one more time, just in case people can't get it. The directors of these movies, they go to a demonic dark place and they say, I want to come up with, how am I going to scare people? How am I come up with the most disgusting, demonic, dark thing that I can come up with? And when they grab that wicked imagination from that place of darkness, they then take that wicked imagination, put it on a screen, they manifest that vision, right? And then they broadcast it. So they take it, they go to a dark place, take it from that dark place, manifest it into reality, and then broadcast it on the screen. And so that is where the portal is created. When you open up your eye gates and ear gates to the vision that they're broadcasting and the demonic sounds that they pulled from the pits of hell that they're projecting, that is where you're opening the portal, right, in your home. And that is how the devil uses entertainment, music, and media. And that is why it's serious. You can't just listen to anything. You can't just watch anything, all right? And I'm going to leave it at there. Go to www.marcusrogersministries.org if you want to support what we're doing.